This is N6E8B, Los Angeles. Is anyone out there? This is November 6, Delta, Hotel Bravo, Los Angeles, California. It's sunny in 72 here. Always sunny in 72 here, and not only is today's weather identical to yesterday's, everything else will be identical because everyone is fucking dead. This is day 109 since the Candida auris outbreak. Is there anyone out there? Anyone at all? What the hell am I doing? This is Larry. Larry Blydner. I used to bitch about the traffic and congestion here in the city without a soul. Now it's the city without a body. A living one, that is. And the congestion is worse than ever. Bumper to bumper, and nothing moves, ever. Not the cars or the rotting corpses of the drivers. I always figured if the world would end by pandemic, it would be a horrific virus hatched in some sinkhole in a jungle. Or maybe something that blew in on a malevolent cosmic wind. Who could have guessed we'd be destroyed by a fungus, a lethal cousin of athlete's foot? There's some twisted irony here. All the might of medical science taming smallpox and HIV and even some cancers, but this ignoble end. At least I've still got beer. Thanks to the new generator I liberated yesterday from Home Depot, it's once again cold. We'll see how long this lasts, though. The gas I've been siphoning out of the local Chevron station is getting kinda gummy. So much for that Techron bullshit. This is N6DHB, Los Angeles, November 6, Delta Hotel Bravo. Hello. Hello, anybody? Anybody at all?
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Hello, Larry!
Hats off to Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
I used to work with a guy who was pretty smart. It was one of my first jobs out of school. I was maybe, 23. He was in his early 30s and seemed ancient. But he was an interesting raconteur. His name was Warren. And Warren and I used to spend a lot of time smoking Benson and Hedges. Well, his preference was Viceroy's, I believe. And we'd just bullshit about anything and everything. Women. I'm not sure if I'd yet designated the hottest ones as pointy, but Warren would have been enthusiastic about that nomenclature. He had a secretary named Mindy, and she was about as pointy could be. And he had selected her primarily on that basis. Mindy sure dressed up that drab office. Sometimes I'd swing by Warren's office just so I could run an eye over Mindy on my way in and out. And much like the images of pointy chicks I post on social media each Pointy Chick Friday, Mindy wasn't just pointy, she was classy, elegant. There are more than enough thoughts in the world and too damn many online. I'm just doing my part to up the class quotient. So one summer's night after 5, Warren and I decided to grab a beer and continue our bullshit session at the saloon around the corner. And even though there was plenty of daylight coming in from the floor to ceiling window of his office, suddenly it got a little darker in there. And Warren said, "Fuck, I just replaced that desk lamp bulb a couple weeks ago." Then we noticed the thrum of the air conditioning stopped, and the fluorescence in the hallway winked out. We heard a lot of horns honking 20 stories below on 3rd Avenue, and when we looked out the window, we knew why. It was a full-blown power outage. The traffic lights were dead, and chaos was brewing. And of course, there'd be no elevator service to the street and the bar around the corner, so after one long-ass trek downstairs, lit by my Zippo and his Bic Flick, we were once again in daylight. On the way to the saloon, which was oddly named Chicago, Chicago, was it some goofball's play on New York, New York? I don't know. I never wondered about that until this moment. On the way there, we passed one of my favorite locations in the city, the offices of Playboy magazine. It had two revolving doors, and between them, in an eerie glass compartment lit by an overhead purple light, was a knockoff of Venus de Milo. Except, as I recall, the nipples were more pronounced than in the original. Kind of a cool reminder of what realm you were entering as you walked through those doors. I never imagined that years later I would visit the Playboy Mansion in L.A., where the real fun took place. But back to pandemics and a blackout in New York City. So Warren and I entered Chicago, Chicago, and the bartender was pouring drinks by candle and flashlight. That's one of the cool things about New York and New Yorkers. Nothing gets in the way of the cash flow. Nothing. To L.A. merchants, a power failure is tantamount to a nuclear strike. They throw up their hands and surrender. But at this New York saloon, the bartender was yelling, "Okay, folks, cash only now, of course." He knew Warren and me, and when we sat at the bar, he whispered, "Hey, you guys can run a tab if you need." In a few seconds, there were two tall Michelobes before us, and one of those little wooden bowls full of beer nuts. What the hell are beer nuts anyway? I've consumed metric tons of them and have no fucking idea. Outside, the horns were blaring and cabbies were cursing and people were pissed off, just wanting to get home. At least the heat of midday was past, but it was still pretty sticky, especially without air conditioning. Tony Spumante, the son of a mob capo, who regular listeners know from many previous episodes, Tony used to call me Slick. And right now, as I recall this, so did Warren. They never met, never even knew of each other's existence. Weird. I never thought of myself as Slick. Maybe my hair was greasy. Anyway, if you want to meet Tony, check out episode 2, New Year's with the Mob, or episode 30, the 4th of July Death Bomb, or episode 21, Larry at a Mob Funeral. There's a load of them at thatlarryshow.com. By now, the bartender had produced a small battery-operated radio and had it tuned to one of the all-new stations, which was giving info on the condition of the city, where looting had already begun. They also talked about how far the blackout extended into surrounding areas, but nobody gave a shit whether Pittsburgh or Baltimore had power, unless they had family there. New Yorkers are solid in their belief that their hometown is the center of the universe, and every place else is shit. That's just the way they think, or did back then. When a temporary power outage paralyzes a metropolis, and parts of it descend into chaos and anarchy with violence and looting, you realize how very fragile our so-called civilization is. Which is why Warren and I began to spitball end-of-the-world scenarios. As soon as that topic hit the air, Warren was on it like a roach on a cookie. As he stubbed out one viceroy and lit another, he said,
"I'll tell you how it's all gonna end, Slick. Plague. Not nukes, not meteors, not some fucking fresh ice age or any of that shit. Some goofball spelunkers gonna deep dive some stagnant quarry in the Amazon and come back to the Bronx with a bad case of the sniffles, which, in a matter of days, will morph into a fever high enough to fry an egg. Then his belly will swell like a hot air balloon, and he'll shit the bed and die as he does. And when the orderlies clean up, they may or may not notice that 15 pounds of that stench ain't feces. It's a smorgasbord of internal organs from his kidneys to his colon, all with the consistency of month-old bananas."
Well, by now, Warren had my attention pretty tight, and the bartender's too. He was staring at Warren. Warren's glass was almost empty, and without being asked, The barman poured him a fresh one and gently placed it on the coaster. He didn't want to miss a word or have Warren lose his train of thought requesting a beer. Warren nodded his thank you, took a long slug of Michelob. He told us that his sister was an epidemiologist, and the shit she knew would give all of America insomnia for the rest of time. It was that scary. He took another drag on his viceroy and continued.
What people don't realize is how long and painstaking the research is to even begin to isolate a bug and start figuring a way to kill it without killing a patient. And vaccines, well, that's a quantum leap from there. There's fresh contagion coming out of the third world that nobody's ever seen or can even begin to categorize. Incurable. They spread like wildfire.
The bartender's eyes were almost bulging.
So why aren't we all dead already? He asked.
Well, we damn near were in the 14th century with the Black Plague. That wiped out about half of Europe. What stops pandemics is mostly geography. An ocean, a desert, a mountain range. It kills everyone susceptible in a given area, and then quits, like a California fire when it reaches the ocean. But now, with planes and trains, we barely have a chance. And the way some of these things kill you, what's that Bible quote? The living will envy the dead? Yes, sirree, Bob. That's about right.
I looked at Warren now, and some older woman was occupying the seat beside him. And she, too, was listening with rapt attention. Or at least I thought she was, until I saw her hand on Warren's shoulder, and she slurred,
Hey, handsome, got a light?
Warren looked at me and chuckled. There was no need to even see her face. Between the look on my mug and the sound of her sloppy whiskey baritone, all input data had been received. Then he did something a tad rude, but funny, nonetheless. Instead of turning around and lighting her Virginia Slim, which is what she wanted, he slipped his lighter from his shirt pocket and held it over his shoulder so she could help herself. She glared at it, and me, and the back of Warren's head. We all got equal retinal hate rays from her roomy eyes. Then she grabbed the lighter, sparked her smoke, and angrily slapped it on the bar, turning her back to Warren and me. Then I saw her fishing in her purse. She hopped off the bar stool, walked to the jukebox. She peered at it a moment. Then, realizing it was as powerless as the rest of New York, she said, Fuck you, to it. Warren grabbed a fistful of beer nuts and continued his talk.
Yeah, my sister says that all these things mutate on a dime. And what's extra scary is they figure out a way to dodge the antibiotic bullets we shoot at them. She says at some point down the line, all the medicines we use now will be as effective as spitballs.
I asked Warren how far down the line, and he told me she wasn't sure but to stay tuned. I had to take a leak and headed for the men's room. I peed by the light of my Zippo. At that time, while working full-time as a suit, I was still fronting my country band. And we were supposed to rehearse that evening. We needed it. We'd been getting sloppy. I paid my share of the tab and said goodnight to Warren. I stepped outside into the humid summer evening. There would be no subway home. Buses were moving, but barely. And cabs, they were an exercise in futility. I started walking north on 3rd Avenue and stuck out my thumb. I had hitchhiked around New York during a transit strike, so what the hell? Eventually, I did catch a ride, but it was uneventful. When I got to my band partner's house in Bayside, Queens, another pal of ours, Vinny, had already come to the rescue. Vinny was a lineman for the phone company and had every conceivable piece of equipment that could fall off a truck, including some kind of industrial light, complete with a massive gasoline generator. That light could have lit up Yankee Stadium. Of course, there was a cooler full of beer, and by the time I arrived, a block party was in full swing. The only thing missing was the music. So Pete and I plugged an amp into the generator and did a couple sets. We played pretty late, until things started to wind down. A crazy night in New York, a long time ago. And magically, it morphed from a crisis into a party. Things like that used to happen in New York. I wonder if they still do. So why am I talking about pandemics? Well, it seems like we may be heading into one. I first read of it last week, and it's picking up steam. The story was of some guy admitted to a Brooklyn hospital for abdominal surgery. A blood test revealed he was infected with a newly discovered germ as deadly as it was mysterious. Doctors quickly isolated him in the intensive care unit. Here's some excerpts straight from the New York Times. The germ, a fungus called Candida auris, is quietly spreading across the globe. Over the last 5 years, it has hit a neonatal unit in Venezuela, swept through a hospital in Spain, forced a British medical center to shut down, and taken root in India, Pakistan, and South Africa. Recently, it reached New York, New Jersey, and Illinois, leading the CDC to list it as a, quote, urgent threat. That guy in Brooklyn? He died after 90 days in the hospital, but Candida auris did not. Tests showed it was everywhere in his room, so invasive that the hospital needed special cleaning equipment and had to rip out the ceiling and the floor tiles to eradicate it. Everything was positive. The walls, the bed, the doors, the curtains, the phones, the sink, the whiteboard, the poles, the pump, said Dr. Scott Lauren, the hospital's president. Quote, the mattress, the bed rails, the canister holes, the window shades, the ceiling, everything in the room was positive, unquote. Candida auris is so tenacious in part because it's impervious to antifungal medications. Dr. Lynn Sosa, Connecticut's deputy state epidemiologist, says she now sees Candida auris as, quote, the top threat among resistant infections. It's pretty much unbeatable and difficult to identify, she said. Nearly half of patients who contract it die within 12 weeks. Yet the world's experts have not nailed down where it came from in the first place. It's a creature from the Black Lagoon, said Dr. Tom Chiller. I swear to God, that's his real name. You can't make this stuff up. Dr. Chiller, who heads the fungal branch at the CDC, which is spearheading a global detective effort to find treatments and stop the spread, says it bubbled up and now it is everywhere. And so when I read this story, I was transported back to that New York saloon where my friend Warren made predictions that are as accurate as they were scary. There's an added dimension to this shit that tops anything Warren prognosticated. This bug is not only resistant to antibiotics, it seems impossible to kill with anything, even powerful disinfectants. Here's a little story from a hospital infected in London. Just like the one in Brooklyn, a room was covered with this bug, and they could not kill it. So they brought in a hired gun that specialized in this stuff. Here's what happened. Under her direction, hospital workers used a special device to spray aerosolized hydrogen peroxide around a room. The theory being that the vapor would scour each nook and cranny. They left the device going for a full week. Only one organism in that room survived the week-long barrage of death. Candida auris. So what happens if you shake hands with someone that has this thing? Or use the gas pump after he did? Maybe even months after he did? Do you have to chop off your hands? Hey everyone, Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. A quick shout out to my podcasting pal in Chicago, Darren O'Neill, and his cohort, Sir Bemrose. Those guys invited me to hang with them this past Sunday morning for the first outing of their new show, Grumpy Old Ben's. And I had a fucking ball. And the show was the lead-in on the stream for Adam Curry's legendary No Agenda podcast. Darren generously had me do the throw to Adam. I hope it was okay. So check out both of Darren's shows, randumthoughts.com, that's R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com, and his new one, Grumpy Old Ben's, where you can hear me rant along with them. Now, if you like what you just heard, slide over to thatlarryshow.com for 177 other episodes. And while there, click your subscribe button of choice, Android, Apple, Stitcher, whatever. That way you never miss an episode. And if you really like what you heard, click that Patreon button and help us keep the lights on. If you dig the show, why not help it grow? You'll also get access to 27 bonus episodes, signed books, custom recordings, and our deep bench of senseis from the Take No Shit Dojo, which is where I am at this very moment, twirling nunchucks, a Kenpo stick, and a 12-gauge pump. Video to follow. Come back and hang with me this weekend for Sinner's Sunday. If you've had a belly full of corporate god providers, or would prefer a belly full of beer and ribs, we're your Sunday hang. So, keep washing your hands. It won't make you any safer, but at least you'll feel proactive. And until Sunday, take no shit.